away. Have to look away. Trying to get Carol Myers on here.
Raised to the ground by the mouth of the ungodly.
take for a city to be raised to the ground here? Or to the church? In that earth? Raised. Or just, well, like with a razor, just sliced off at the foundation. Just raised to the ground. What does it take for you to have it?
Huh?
So what does it take for a city to be raised to the ground? Knocked down, flat. And it says that in the verse we just read, if you were following along. Verse 9. Thank you. The mouth of the ungodly just talking, just an ungodly person talking, is all it takes. But a city stays upright in the good thing of the righteous. Faithful, hard work, diligence is what builds a city, but it can be knocked over so easily. Verse 10, a man in need of discernment treats citizens with contempt, but a man of discernment keeps quiet. A double-tongued man reveals deliberations heard in council, but a man faithful in spirit conceals matters. Those for whom there is no leadership fall like leaves, but there is salvation in much counsel. You think you'd like to just be all on your own with no leadership? You boys, how do you think your life would work out if you didn't have anyone to lead you or help guide you, right? How about when you get older, even just be somewhere with no leader at all? Because that's just key. Then you can just do whatever you want, right? That'd be so much fun, you think? Well, you might think so, but what did it say here? It says here, those for whom there is no leadership fall like leaves. There's God's plan for leaders, isn't it? Yes. There is salvation in much counsel. A wicked man does evil whenever he meets a righteous man. And he hates the sound of stability. Again, because I think, you know, they just like to do whatever they want to do. They don't want stability. They don't want their lives figured out. They don't want to walk in a straight path. They just want to go wherever the wind blows. They want to do whatever their mind thinks of next. Many times. So, in fact, so much so that when they meet a righteous man, it just inspires more evil out of them. A wicked man does evil whenever he meets a righteous man. 14, a thankful woman raises up glory to her husband, but a throne of dishonor is a woman who hates righteousness. Lazy men are in need of wealth, but courageous men support themselves with wealth. A merciful man does good to his soul, but an unmerciful man utterly destroys his body. A lot of times when we are merciful, we think we are being merciful to someone else. And we're being kind and helping someone else. Because they need help. But it says here, a merciful man does good to his soul. To his own soul. And we're helping others, we're actually helping ourselves. Maybe we don't think or know that we needed to help, but we're helping ourselves and to help others. But someone who is unmerciful doesn't have mercy on others and help them, isn't taking care of himself, he's neglecting his own needs. An ungodly man does righteous works, but the seed of the righteous is the reward of truth. Verse 18, a righteous son is begotten unto life, but the persecution of an ungodly man is unto death. Perverse ways are an abomination to the Lord, but all who are blameless in their ways are acceptable to him. He who joins hands with the unrighteous will not go unpunished, but he who sows righteousness will receive a faithful reward. Like a ring in the nose of a wild swine, so is beauty to an evil-minded woman. Every desire of the righteous is good, but the hope of the ungodly is destruction. Sounds pretty hopeless. The hope of the ungodly is destruction. Doesn't sound like much hope. There are those who sow their own things and produce more things. And there are those who gather but have less. And it would seem like it means there are those who gather even from others. You gather the good things of others and bring home, but they have less. So there are those who sow their own things and produce more. And there are those who gather but have less. Every sincere soul is blessed, but an angry man is not graceful. May the one who hoards grain leave it to the nations. But may blessing be upon the head of the one who shares it. He who plans good things seeks good grapes, but he who seeks evil, it will capture him. He who trusts in riches, this man will fall. But he who helps the righteous, this man will rise. He who does not deal graciously with his own house will inherit the wind. And a man without discernment will be servant to one with discernment. A tree of life springs up from the fruit of righteousness, but the souls of the lawless will be taken away before his time. If the righteous man is scarcely saved, then where shall an ungodly man and sinner appear? You know who else read this chapter one time and he kept it in his mind and thought about it? I'm sure. Okay, let's go back to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. Someone who was writing back here thought about one of the verses in that chapter when he was writing. And he included it in his writing back here. 1 Peter 4, verse 18. Okay, Peter, the apostle of Jesus, disciple, later apostle of Jesus, was writing this little letter here to someone to the church, I guess. Writing to a lot of people, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen by God. So he was writing this letter to them. He thought about that verse back there in Proverbs that we just read. And so as he was writing, he included this verse here, 18. And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and sinner? Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. So, Peter was exhorting them to just take it patiently when they're going through suffering and trials and difficulties. And he thought about this verse back here in Proverbs that we just read. The last verse there in the chapter 11. If the righteous man is scarcely saved, then where shall an ungodly man and a sinner appear? So, it takes work, doesn't it? Faithfulness to be righteous and just to stick with the right, doing the right thing. Diligence, right? It doesn't just happen by accident. So, you'll be maybe praised by your parents if you do what is right, but if you are like ungodly man and sinner, where do you think they're going to end up? They won't be praised. They'll just drift along with the wind and fall like the leaves, and they won't be anywhere close when God is rewarding the righteous and the faithful. What thing was he? Say your friendly words. Huh?
we're supposed to memorize Proverbs 10, verse 1. A wise son makes his father glad, and a son without discernment is a grief to his mother.
A righteous son makes his father happy, but a foolish son makes his mother sad. Proverbs 10, 1.
Proverbs 10, verse 1. A righteous son makes his father glad, but a son without discernment is a grief to his mother.
Proverbs 10, 1. A wise son makes his father glad, but a son without discernment is a grief to his mother.
It talks about how a wise son makes his father glad. And if we have discernment and are wise, we'll make out better in this life and eternity. So we need to have discernment.
I thought of a wise son being a diligent son and making his dad glad with whatever he's working on, but a son without discernment is like a lazy son that just doesn't get anything done. He's a grief to his mother.
Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes his father glad, but a son without discernment is a grief to his mother. And I thought about how to be a wise son, we need to practice on not talking down our brothers and sisters, to lift ourselves up and stick up for our brothers and sisters.
If you make wise decisions throughout your life, then it'll be better with you and your parents will be pleased.
I was thinking about that verse, Proverbs 10:1, and Proverbs 11:10 stuck out to me when I read it. A man in need of discernment treats citizens with contempt, but a man with discernment keeps quiet. So if you have discernment, like it talks about in verse 10:1, then it'll be better. And another verse here, verse 22, the end of it. But men without discernment die in want. And so, and I looked up discernment, or to perceive something hidden or obscure, or to comprehend mentally. So,
if we can say no to what we want to do and listen to wisdom, then we'll get along in life better, and our parents will be pleased.
A wise son's going to do what's right and listen to God and his parents. An ungodly son, ungodly man, listen to the world, do what they want.
I thought about a wise son, someone that works hard at everything, even if it's just in the little things, he does his best.
I thought about one thing that I could apply to my life with that verse in mind, is to follow through, to be I thought of the phrase, hang in there. just be there and just to not squander the end product of our efforts of what we're trying to accomplish, and I know that that works for, you know, the physical side of life. You know, if you do well and if you do well, it's going to be well in this life, maybe. But in the next life, are we going to fit in heaven? Are we going to fit in heaven and belong there? And we need to, or I need to, I need to see past this life and see what the brothers, what my parents, or my mother and the brothers are trying to, what we're all seeking is actually eternal. But, you know, it's got the physical side of things. But there's more to it than that. Anyway, just hang in there. That's my thought.
For next week, boys, probably two of those, all the verses, and apply it to your life throughout the week, and tell us about the verse and how it works.